at the Bureau Baptist Church in Bologna, Arkansas. Good morning. If you love the Lord Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
I said, if you love the Lord Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
It's good to see you. Good to be back. Wade, thank you for letting me come back. I appreciate it. I love coming here. I really do. I love coming here. If I lived in this community and if you'd allow me, I'd like to be a member here. I love coming to this church. So thank you. And Lee, where's Lee? Where'd Lee go? He leave? There you are. Thank you for being nice to me, brother. Appreciate you. I like Lee. He doesn't know me hardly at all. But I like him. All right. Take your Bible or your electronic device. And I'm going to ask you to turn to a passage. Now, I don't know how you folks with your electronic devices, I don't know how you're going to do this. But if you got a Bible, then here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And then after you find Colossians chapter 1, find verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 and then find verse 15. Did all of you enjoy your extra hour sleep last night? Scared sweet Linda to death. We were driving over here and there's a clock on the dashboard of the car. And I didn't change that clock. And we weren't here yet, and according to that clock, it was already 11:15. And she just almost had a heart attack right there in the car. But anyway, have you found Colossians chapter 1, verse 15? I've given you time. You found it? Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take, and I want you to put your finger there, or a piece of paper, bulletin, something like that, marker. And then I want you to find Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 8, and locate verse 27. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Okay? Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach from Colossians. That's where the message is going to come from. But I'm going to use Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 29 as an introduction. Okay? As an introduction. So I want you to have both of those passages available to you because I'm not going to wait for you to turn and find them again. Okay? It's not that I'm rude, I'm just in a hurry. I know that you won't stay here past about 2:30, so I've got to be through. So, okay, put your hand or your bookmark that was in Colossians, move it to Mark 8, and we're going to read from Colossians, okay? And I know this is complicated, but you got to understand, I'm a complicated person. Okay, I'm going to read the Colossians passage, and then we're going to flip back and look at the passage in Mark. Everybody understand? If you do, say amen or oh me or something, you know. Oh me, okay. All right. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to jump right into the text. Really, if I was going to do this appropriately, I'd read the entire first chapter of Colossians, but here again, in the interest of time, I'm just going to read the verses that I'm going to refer to during the message. So we want to start the reading at verse 15. Now, and every time I do this and I jump into the middle of a passage, it frightens me because the people may not have the context exactly right. But I want you to look at the very first word in verse 15. Everybody looking at Colossians 1:15, that very first word. It's a pronoun. It's the word who. Everybody see that? It's the word who? Okay. Now, you learned in English class in school that anytime you have a pronoun, you have to have a noun that is the antecedent to that pronoun, or a noun that that pronoun is renaming. So, what is the noun that that pronoun is there for? In other words, who is the who in verse 15? Well, back up to verse 12. In verse 12 it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who, now the who there is the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, colon, who. So the antecedent to the who in verse 15 is the dear Son. The antecedent to that who is the Son, not the Father. Verses 15 and following that I'm going to read this morning, Paul is talking about the Lord Jesus. Everybody understand? Say amen. Amen. So let's read the passage. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, pronoun, antecedent, Jesus, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he, antecedent, Lord Jesus, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then the emphasis changes, and it says, and you, not him, now we're talking about you. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he, Jesus, hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Somebody say amen. All right, now you got that in your mind. Don't worry about it. I'm going to unpack all that in just a minute. But now take your hand and flip over, if you would, to Mark chapter 8, verse 27. And I want to give you the introduction to the sermon. Mark chapter 8, verse 27 says this. And Jesus went out and his disciples unto the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, now get this question, whom do men say that I am? Now don't get all bent out of shape over that question. That's really not what he's driving at. That's just the conversation opener. Whom do men say that I am? Verse 28. And they answered, and here's their list. John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. Now, verse 29, he gets down to where he really wants to be. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. Here's my question for you this morning. out of all the things that are being said about Jesus today, most of which is incorrect, out of all the opinions that there are in this depraved culture in which we live in, about just who Jesus is, out of all of that conversation and out of all of that confusion of opinion, out of what everybody else is saying about Jesus, the question you and I need to deal with this morning is, whom do ye say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? You see, it really doesn't make any difference what everybody else says and what they think. But dear brothers and sisters, your answer to this question will definitely define the rest of your eternity. Everybody in the world can be wrong and you can still be right. So we want to deal with this question this morning. Whom do ye say that I am? Now, flip back over to Colossians. We're going to go to preaching now. Flip back over to Colossians, and I want to deal with these verses in Colossians. It is very important that we answer this question, whom do ye say that I am? Paul writes this letter to the Colossian church as a warning of a heresy that is infiltrating and influencing that little church there at Colossae. It's called the Colossian heresy, and you can Google it, and I don't have time to explain everything that they were in error about. But one of the things that this heresy was in error about was the deity of Christ. And Paul writes this little church here in Colossae and warns them about this heresy, and he deals here in this first chapter with the doctrine of Christ. So if we're going to discern who we say that Jesus is, we don't need to consult Dr. So-and-so, or we don't need to consult somebody's magazine. We need to consult the Word of God. And a fellow by the name of Bishop J.B. Lightfoot, who was a renowned English theologian, and that's all I'm going to say about him. You can Google him too. Said this about the epistle to the Colossians. He says, the doctrine of the person of Christ is stated with greater precision and fullness than in any other of St. Paul's epistles. If you really want to know the person of Christ, if you really want to know the doctrine of the person of Christ, Colossians is a good place, perhaps the best place in the New Testament for us to go. So that's why we have come here this morning. And we want to look at this passage and we want to deal with the question, just who is Jesus Christ? Whom do you say he is should be determined by what the Bible says he is. Amen? All right, so let's look very carefully. The first thing we want to deal with is who is Jesus Christ in relation to the Father? Who is Jesus? If you're taking notes, this is the first point. Who is Jesus Christ in relation to God the Father? And that's recorded in the first part of verse 15. Look at the first part of verse 15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? That's it. That's who he is in relationship to God the Father. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, there are two undeniable facts we need to deal with here. Number one is this, God is Spirit. The nature of God the Father, God is Spirit. John chapter 4 verse 24 says it. God is spirit. By virtue of the fact that God the Father is spirit, then the second thing we see about the nature of God the Father is that He is not visible. 1 John chapter 4 verse 12 says this, "No man has seen God at any time." You cannot see God the Father. He is not physical. He is spirit. And you cannot take your physical eyes and see the spiritual. He is spirit. Therefore, God the Father is invisible. If you understand that, say amen and I can move on. Alright, now secondly, this second undeniable truth is this, the nature of the Son, or the nature of Christ. Look at verse 15. The Son, or Jesus, or the Christ, is the image. Look at me. He is the image of the invisible God. Now write this down. The word image here in the original language is the word icon. The word icon is rightly defined as, listen to me carefully, an exact duplicate. Did you get that? An exact duplicate. That means that Jesus is an exact duplicate in every way as God the Father. Say amen. Now listen to me carefully. I want you to put this hermeneutic together. You ready for this? The Bible clearly says that our God is one God. Say amen. Our God is one God. We do not have two gods. We do not have three gods. We have one God. Everybody agree with that? And Jesus is, look at me now, Jesus is the exact duplicate of God. Therefore, the conclusion that anyone must come to is that Jesus is God. If there is only one God and Jesus is the exact duplicate of God, then He must be God. Everything that God is, Jesus is. Everything that Jesus is, God is. Somebody either shout or say amen. That's who Jesus is in relationship to God the Father. He is God the Father in flesh. Verse 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God." Now here, come here, come here. That means this. Jesus is a visible image of everything God is. Therefore, He is God. Jesus is not a man sent from God. Jesus is God sent for man. That's who He is in relation to God the Father. Now let me just back up before I go to my next point. Would you like to see God? I would. I'm kind of scared. To be honest with you, He's so awesome. But I'd like to see God. The only way anyone ever sees God is in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the invisible God made visible to man. Sometimes I'd like to be Pentecostal for just a minute. Secondly, not only do we look at who is Jesus in relation to God the Father, but we also say who is Jesus in relationship to creation. Uh-oh. Got to put a disclaimer here. I am not going to teach you. I am not going to preach to you. I'm not going to tell you what anybody's textbook says. I'm just going to share with you what God says. Now, I'll let you decide whether or not you want to believe what God says or you want to believe what somebody's textbook says. I've already made my choice. I believe what God says. Say amen. Let's look, if we could, at the second part of verse 15, and then on following that. The firstborn of every creature. Verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God? Then it says, the firstborn of every creature. Now, let me explain to you what that means. That means that Christ Jesus is the source of all creation. He is the predecessor of every creature. He is the predecessor of all creation. He is the progenitor. Look at verse 16. It says this, for by him were all things created. Jesus created everything that is. There is nothing that Jesus did not create. Then he goes on and he says, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Look at it. All things were created by him. Shout hallelujah. He is, in relation to the creation, Jesus is the creator. Please, don't miss this. Anybody who denies the creation is wrong. The creator is none other than the Lord Jesus. He is the source of creation. But he is not just the source of creation. He is sovereign over creation. Verse 16, there it says, all things were created by him. Now look at the next prepositional phrase. And for him. He is not only the creator, he is not only the source from which everything that he is came, but he is Lord over everything that is. It was not just created by him, but it was created for him. Sorry, AV man, I'm moving, I know, I'm sorry. That includes you. Why do you exist? Why did God create you? For himself. Not for you. The essence of life is not making you happy. The essence of life is glorifying him. You were created by him. You are also created for him. And if you are not glorifying him, you are not accomplishing the reason for which you exist. You can be successful doing anything else, but if you don't glorify him, you're a failure. Now, thirdly, not only is Christ the source of creation, and not only is he sovereign over creation. Now, this one's the one that you're going to have to hang in here with me on. Verse 17 says that he is also the sustainer of creation. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, and he is before all things. Now, we know that Christ was before everything that was created chronologically, simply because he created it all. And if he created it all, he had to be there first. Okay? But this little phrase carries more than just that in it. It says, and he is before. He is before in the sense of authority. He is before in the sense of position. So it says, and he is before all things. Now watch the next phrase. And by him all things consist. Now I got to talk to you about that word consist. Get you a dictionary and look that up. In the original language, you will find that that word consist, accurately translated, simply means held together. Jesus created it. He is master of it. He created it for Him. Look at me now. Come on, kids, those of you who are in school. And He also is the one who's holding it all together. What keeps the sun from going out? Just burning out. What keeps the solar system in such a way that all the planets are revolving around the sun and nobody's running into each other? Who's keeping all that working? Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is holding it all together. You realize that the angle of the earth, it's not straight up and down. The angle of the earth, if it varies just a few degrees either way, we all die. If the earth spins too fast, we all fly off. If the earth spins too slow, we all weigh so much, we die. Who keeps it all working right? Say His name. Jesus. Say it again. Say it one more time like you mean it. Jesus. He's keeping it all together. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you're making a big deal of this. Why don't you just, you've made your point, go on, move on. I hadn't made my point yet. I'm going to keep using hairspray as long as I want to. It takes a lot of hairspray to keep my hair looking nice. And I don't care about the hole in the ozone, because I know who's keeping it all together. Amen. Now listen to me carefully and don't get mad at me. If you get mad at me, you'll tell Wade, and Wade will never have me come back. So don't get mad at me. Listen to me carefully. Do not send your children to bed tonight fearful and afraid that somehow mankind is going by burning fossil fuels to destroy the earth and they're going to die. Dear brothers and sisters, send your children to bed tonight with absolute faith, not fear, absolute faith and confidence that it's not mankind that's keeping this earth. It is the Lord Jesus who is sustaining this earth. You see, this idea of a man-made climate change that will destroy the earth, some people think that's a scientific issue. Some people think that's a political issue. Dear brothers and sisters, that's a theological issue. Because if you believe the Bible, then you believe that Jesus is the one that's holding all this together, and we don't have anything to do with it. And do you really think that all of us put together could create more power to destroy the earth than He's got to preserve it? Look at me. It ain't gonna happen. Now, if you read the last book in the Bible, you'll find out something. You'll find out that this earth is going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. But guess what? It won't be you that did it. And it won't happen 1 second sooner than the Lord Jesus has already determined. It'll be Him One of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to get all of our sin He wants. And He's going to say, I've had enough. And then this earth's days are over. Look at me. Not one minute sooner. Everybody got quiet. You know why? I just challenged all of your political correctness. I've got a choice between political correctness and biblical correctness. I choose biblical correctness. And if you are wise, so will you. The room is so quiet, I know. I mean, I've been preaching for a few years now. And I know when the room gets this quiet, you've either made your point or you're not going to. Move on. So I'm going to move on. We've looked at who is Jesus Christ in relation to God the Father. He is the image of the invisible God. Who is Jesus Christ in relation to creation? He is the source of creation. He is the sovereign over creation. He is the sustainer of creation. Now, very quickly, I want to look at who is Jesus Christ in relation to the church. Hello. Going to talk about you for a minute now. Who is Jesus in relation to the church? Look at verse 18. In verse 18 it says, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. There's a declaration in verse 18 that says, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the ruler. He is the guider. He is the controller. He is the absolute authority. That same verse 18 says, now listen to it carefully, in all things He might have preeminence. In all things He might be boss. This church does not belong to you. You didn't die for it. He did. This church belongs to Him. He is the master. He is the ruler. He is the creator of this church. And He should be preeminent in everything you do. I don't care what it is. He should be the center of everything you do here. He should be the head of every decision you make. I'm sorry. I don't want to get kicked out of here. But Wade's not the head of this church. Sorry, Wade. You know, when you think about it, what preacher in the world would want to be the head of a Baptist church? I mean, come on. Give me a break here. But anyway, Jesus is the head of the church and everything we do as a church. It ought to be by His power, through His guidance, for His glory. And if it's not, look at me, if it's not, we ought not be doing it. My wife and I love my wife. She's my favorite out of the whole bunch. My wife and I had a conversation. We always stop and get breakfast on the way to preach. And the reason for that is medical. But anyway, we were sitting at the breakfast table this morning and we were talking about something, and now I forgot what we were talking about. I'm serious. I just drew a... Did that ever happen to you? I'm 74 years old, folks. I can forget something once in a while. Give me a break. But I looked across the table and I asked her about a particular church. It's not this one. We weren't talking about you. And I said, who do you think's the bell cow in that church? Now, some of you don't know what a bell cow is. I understand that. A bell cow is, if you have cattle, there will be one cow in that that, what do you call it, a herd? There'll be one cow in that herd that all the rest of them are going to follow. You don't elect them, they elect them. Okay? If you're the farmer, you don't pick the bell cow. They do. There'll be one of them that they'll choose to follow. Now, the farmer, what he used to do is he'd take whichever one everybody else followed, he'd take and put a bell around their, a cowbell around their neck. And if he wanted to get to, if he wanted to find out where his cows were, he just listened for the bell, because he knew wherever the bell cow was, the rest of them would be too. Okay, that's hence the term bell cow. And every church has a bell cow. Every church, there's somebody or some group in that church that's the bell cow. And as a pastor, if you can get them to follow you, then the whole church will follow you. But if you can't get them to follow you, just forget it, son. Put your resume out. You're gone. You know? But who's the bell cow at Barrel Baptist Church? It ought to be the Lord Jesus. Do y'all have business meetings? When you have business meetings, there are churches that don't have business meetings, by the way. I've preached in a few. But when you come to a church business meeting, why do you come? I used to ask myself that when I was a pastor. Why do you come? Well, I come because I want to make sure I get my way. No, you're not preeminent. Jesus is. Every time you come to a business meeting, let me tell you what you ought to come for. You ought to come so that you collectively, as a family, can pray together and discern what the Lord Jesus would have for this church. And then be obedient to Him. I got to move on. I've run out of time. Lastly, we've looked at who Jesus is in relation to God the Father. We've looked at who Jesus is in relation to creation. We've looked at who Jesus is in relation to the church. Now, lastly, look at my wife. She always smiles when I say, now, lastly. Now, lastly, who is Jesus in relation to sinful man? Who is Jesus in relation to sinful man? Look, if you would, at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him, that's Jesus, to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That's it. That's who He is in relation to sinful man. He is the one who, by His own blood has on the cross, has provided us with the opportunity of reconciliation with a holy God. Look at verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. Look at it now. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Look at me, every one of you. Every one of you, stop what you're doing and look and listen carefully. Who is Jesus Christ in relation to sinful man? He is your only hope of ever being reconciled to a holy God. Without His shed blood, there would be no reconciliation. Without His sacrifice on the cross, every single one of us would be eternally doomed, eternally separated from a holy God by our own sinfulness. But look at me. He took our sinful. Ooh, please listen. He took our sinfulness upon Himself as He hung on that cross. And He made peace between holy God and sinful man. Woo! Glory! That's who He is in relation to sinful man. You might be a better person here on earth by going to church, but dear brothers and sisters, you'll never see the inside of heaven simply by being a part of the church. You'll only see the inside of heaven by surrendering your life to your only hope of reconciliation. And that only hope is none other than Jesus Christ. Oh, how I love Jesus. Have you sung that? I'd sing some more, but you'd leave. It's very important that we understand that Jesus is the invisible God made visible. It's very important that we understand that Jesus is the source, the sovereign, and the sustainer of all creation. It's very important that we understand that Jesus is the head of the church. But it is absolutely essential that you understand and embrace the truth that Jesus is your only hope of ever being saved. Without Jesus, you are going to hell. With Jesus, you have been forgiven of all your sin. He has made peace between you and a holy God and reconciled you, put you back together into the family of God. That is who Jesus is. The world will tell you so many other things. You must decide, whom say ye that he is? And now you know. It's yours to receive, to embrace. It's yours to surrender to Him as Master and be saved. Amen. Would you please stand? In just a moment, here's what I'm going to do. I've never been here when the pastor was here before. So here's what I'm going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. Then after I pray, Lee is going to sing something. I have no idea what he's going to sing. I really don't care. Okay. And then your pastor is going to come and stand here in front of the Lord's Supper table.
I'm going to step back and get out of the way. But before I pray, I want to give you a challenge. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, if you've never come to that point in your life where you've realized without Him and His forgiveness, you're on your way to hell. If you've never come to that point and you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, please, I beg of you, don't leave this room until you've given your life to Jesus. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Your pastor's going to be standing right here. You can leave wherever you're standing or sitting. You can leave wherever, and you can come down here, and you can take him by the hand. Look him in the eye. Look at me now. And all you got to do is say, I want to give my life to Jesus. He'll help you from there. And you can be saved and sure forever. Today, that can start today. I want to encourage you to do that. If I knew which ones of you didn't know the Lord Jesus, I'd come out there and hug your neck and drag you down here. But I don't know, but you know. I challenge you, don't leave this room till you've given your life to Jesus. Then secondly, to those of you who are already believers, you are already Christians, you've already surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus. Has the Holy Spirit of God spoken to your heart about something in your life, some action in your life, some attitude in your life that is not exactly what He would have in your life? Remember, you are created by Him and for Him. If there's anything in your life that's not exactly the way He wants it to be, I want you to do this. I want you to have enough courage that when Lee begins to sing, I want you to leave wherever you're standing or wherever you're sitting. I want you to come down one of these aisles. I want you to kneel here at one of these steps. If you can't kneel, sit on one of these pews. I want you to bow your head before your Lord, and I want you to confess what's wrong in your life. And let Him fix it. And He will. One more word and then I'm going to pray. If you're a believer, Christian, and you're not a member of a local New Testament church, you're already here this morning, this would be a good one to join. I guarantee you, if I lived here, I'd join. If this is where God wants you to serve Him, then you come down and take this pastor by the hand. He'll explain to you how this church receives members. And I guarantee you, if God's in it, it'll be a wonderful blessing to you and the church. Fathers, we bow before You now, Lord. Thank You so much for letting us be here today. Thank You for these people that love You enough to come here. Lord, thank You for the power of Your Word that we've looked at this morning. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the Lord Jesus that we read about in this Word. Thank You that Jesus is You come to save us. Thank You that Jesus created us so that we could have fellowship with Him. Thank You that Jesus is the head and master of His church. And thank You that Jesus died for us, that we might be saved. Now, Lord, please, please, Lord, don't let any of us get out of this room this morning without being perfectly obedient to you. May we make the decision before we leave this room you brought us here this morning to make. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Those of you who are coming, you come on. Come right now as we sing. Lee, Pastor, it's yours.